Well, take your Bibles this morning. Go to 2 Kings, please. Chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6. We think things are bad in our lives sometimes. Boy, you don't know how bad things can get. Israel is one example. They went through famines, no food, no water, drought, all of those kind of things, and they were driven to eat things you wouldn't ever think anybody would eat, drink things. And it starts that way in the study this morning, 2 Kings chapter 6. And in verse 24, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host. And when it talks about a host, he's talking about a great army. Gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung was 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, 'Give thy son to me, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, 'Give thy son, that we may eat him.' And she hath hid her son." Drop over to chapter 7, if you will. In verse 1 it says, "And Elijah, the man of God, said, 'Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?' And he said, 'Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof.' And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say, we will enter into the city, then famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, but we shall but die.' And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon them. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Drop down to verse 19. It finishes up the story and says that, And that Lord answered the man of God and said, Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. Take your pen, and I want you to underline. There in verse 2, chapter 7, windows in heaven. Got it underlined? Then in verse 19 of chapter 7, underline windows in heaven. That's what I want to preach to you this morning. Are there windows in heaven? That's what it says, doesn't it? Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might help me preach, make things clear, Lord, and that we might be amazed at the things that we read and understand. Not only about this old wicked world, but the power of the Lord God Almighty. Bless in the preaching and hearing of your word. May everything be may you be glorified in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. What a situation. The king of Syria got his whole army, and they cut off, they besieged, they put a siege on Samaria. In other words, they made a blockade. No one could get in, no one could get out. Starve them to death. There was a famine going on anyway. And so, here their enemies, the Samarias, the Samaritans, they blockaded. It was so bad, as you just read there in chapter 6, that they were eating the droppings of doves. It says a cab, if you see there in verse 25, that was 2.8 pints. And it cost a lot of money for the privilege of eating dove's dung. It was so bad they had nothing to eat. They ate their children. One woman asked the other woman, Give me your son. We'll boil him and eat him. She did. This is cannibalism, obviously. And then the other woman, she gave her son. They boiled him and ate him too. To stay alive. That's how bad the famine was. As I said, you think you got it hard down here. You don't know what people have gone through in history. We get used to all of the conveniences and lights and heat and all kinds of things we got going and travel and all that. Hospitals and doctors and medicine. Not back then. And this is what was going on. But Elijah, the man of God, he came upon the scene. And what did he say? I mean, when... He said, he predicted that they would see this very thing of the windows of heaven open so that they could have food. And he said it twice. What a prediction. And as you read through there, you will see that that happened. You know, sometimes our God, who we cannot see, he's invisible to me. Every once in a while, up there in heaven, I believe that God goes to the window and he pulls back the curtain and he opens the window and pours out a blessing. Answers the prayer. Takes care of the situation through the windows of heaven. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, please. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. The windows in heaven? Well, this is all invisible. God's invisible. Heaven's invisible. Certainly these windows are invisible. That's why it takes faith to believe what God says in his word. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 27. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How could Moses take those 3 million Jews, 40 years through the wilderness and everything? Brother, he had more than man's strength to do all of that. Every day, he was spiritual, and he saw him that was invisible. The windows of heaven is certainly needed within our lives. You read in Revelation 19:11, it says, John said, and I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. Even in Noah's day, back in Genesis 7:11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all of the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. The Bible says there's windows in heaven. Go to Luke chapter 1, please. Book of Luke chapter 1. I want to study this for a while this morning. It intrigued me. What a wonderful blessing that each one of us can have, knowing that there is actually windows in heaven. Luke chapter 1, verse 28, when the angel came into Mary and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And he goes on and tells her all about the Christ child and that she was going to have Jesus. I ask you a question. Where did that angel come from? From heaven. From the windows of heaven. I say, we see it over and over as we're going to study. That when great things are going to happen upon earth, when things are needed here on earth, The windows of heaven are opened, and God brings the blessing. In every instance, we see it. Drop down to verse 11 in Luke chapter 1. Because there's somebody else that saw him that was invisible also. In verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. The angel came from where? Yeah, it came from heaven. It came from the windows of heaven. Zacharias saw him that was invisible. Mary saw him that was invisible. The windows of heaven were open so that we could even have a Savior. You remember the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. The day he got saved on that Damascus road, he saw the one that was invisible. Jesus spoke to him, blinded him because of the great light. And so we had the Apostle Paul. Go back to Genesis 28, please. Genesis chapter 28. Now here's Jacob. Jacob, he tricked Esau, his brother, so that he could get the birthright. And Esau said, the next time I see you, I'm going to kill you. So Jacob ran for his life. Always looking over his shoulder for his brother. His big, husky, hairy guy who was a hunter out in the fields all the time. Boy, Jacob ran. But he came and he laid down. He took a pillow for his, or a rock. And he dreamt. You know what God did? God had Jacob see a ladder that led up to heaven and angels coming up and down, descending and ascending. Jacob saw those windows of heaven. Jacob saw the blessing of God and which way he should go within his life. And you know, from that time period, then he met his brother again and he wasn't angry with him. And they hugged each other and kissed. You know, God can do a lot of things in your life if you're spiritual enough to get your eyes off of the junk that's down here on earth and all of the things that we could think that are the most terrible problems we could ever have, and raise up and look up into heaven and see him that is invisible. Look over the windows of heaven and pray that they may be opened, that God will give you the direction. That will give you the blessing. You understand the word Jacob. At that time, God changed his name to Israel. Everything in this book, 66 books of them in the Bible, all about Israel. How important that you see him that is invisible. Go to Joshua chapter 5, please. Joshua in chapter 5. Joshua 5 and in verse 13. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. The angel of the Lord, it wasn't a normal angel. God always forbid anyone bowing to anyone but the Lord God. He wouldn't have allowed, an angel would not have allowed him to worship him. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. A theophany. A theophany in the Old Testament. The showing of Jesus Christ. God opened the windows of heaven, had the angel come down and give him the answer, because Joshua was afraid. He was afraid about getting into coming to the promised land. He had to fight the enemies, the other nations that were in the promised land. God told him to go in there and drive them out. Joshua was afraid, he didn't know what to do. Is there times in your life when you don't know what to do? You're afraid about this or that. Got anxiety within your life. God will open the windows of heaven to Joshua and showed him what to do. How about Moses? There in the desert. Where'd that food come from? They didn't have any food. God opened the windows of heaven and threw out food, manna, every day. Amen. Bible tells us there's windows in heaven and blessings come out of them. Why would God do that? Because he loves his own. He loves his children. God takes care of his children. Seeing him that is invisible. Seeing those windows of heaven. Oh, pray for that. You know, there was a song that I think Marlene still remembers. That we would open the service in the choir before we started the church here. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling today. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus came in to stay. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven since Jesus made everything right. Amen. Amen. The windows of heaven are open. Let me show you five things quickly. That was my introduction, by the way. Number one is when God's children die. When they're transferred from earth to heaven. I believe God opens the windows of heaven. Look at Acts chapter 7. The book of Acts chapter 7. As I try to be a blessing to you this morning through the blessing of the God's word. Acts chapter 7 verse 56. The setting here is Stephen, the godly deacon that was preaching the word of God and telling it without compromise to these unsaved, and they hated it, and they hated his message, and they hated Stephen. And here they stoned him to death. It says in verse 56, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. What did Stephen see? Verse 55 says that he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I believe when his saints, those that are saved, when they die, they see him that is invisible. They see that window of heaven. God our Father stands at that window, pulls back the curtain. Jesus stood out, standing on the right hand of God, says, and Stephen saw him. Amen. The curtain is something that hides, and we can't see God normally. It's a rare thing for this to happen, but it happens. And so God pulled back the curtain, and there it was. I believe when people die that are saved, saints of God, even when they're ready to die, they see the blowing of the curtain. They can see the window of heaven. What a blessing to pass out of this life into a great eternity. It's one of the craziest things about the religions of the world and what people believe. Reincarnation is one of them. To think that when you die, you come back as something else or someone else. Of all of the ungodliness and filth and everything and hardships down here on earth, you want me to believe that I got to go through all of that, and when I die, I'm coming right back into it again? Sorry. I got somewhere to go. I got a blessing. The blessing comes from the windows of heaven. Those that have trusted Christ for their salvation. Go to Malachi chapter 3. The book of Malachi. Last book in the Old Testament. I not only believe that people see the windows of heaven when when they die, God's children, when they transfer from this earth to heaven. But they also see the wonderful blessing comes from giving. Giving. Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 10. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Improve me, test me. Now there herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen. For every Christian, once we're saved, we get baptized by immersion. We join the church and we start studying the Bible. Pretty soon, we find out that God says that He wants us to take 10% of our income and give it to Him, a tithe. I remember that day. Every Christian does. That day when you thought you read it wrong, and you read it again, and you read it again, and sure enough, the preacher made sure you knew it. I remember when that day came with me after I got saved. Wow. We were not making it financially. And now God wants me to give 10% of that unofferably? Please, I'm reading the Bible wrong. No, that's what it said. So by faith, Marlene and I, we started giving, first of all, before we did anything else, we took 10% aside, put it there. Put it away, that's God. You don't touch it for nothing. That's like I never had it. That's God's. I'm going to give that to Platon and Sunday. But how are we going to pay our bills? Let's see, I got saved by faith. And then the Bible says I'm supposed to live by faith. Okay, Lord, here goes nothing. Every Christian comes to that place in their life sooner or later. You start living by faith. And all of a sudden, Arlene and I found that, boy, we didn't think we could pay the bills and stuff, but funny things started happening. And money came in from places we never thought of.
That's right.
Yeah. Promotion and things. And what was God doing? Well, He was keeping His word. He said, if you tithe and you bring it into the storehouse, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Yeah. Wow. I believe the windows of heaven are open when a saint dies and when people tithe. Right there in Malachi 3, he says that you have robbed God if you don't give a tithe. Let me ask you a question. If you knew there was a thief going around where you live, around the houses around here. I mean, he was getting on all houses. If you knew there was a thief out there, would you keep your windows open? Or would you lock them? God's not going to open that window of blessing when there's a thief around. Hmm. the windows of heaven, right there in the Word of God. Go to Matthew chapter 3. The next book, Matthew chapter 3 in the New Testament. Matthew 3 and in verse 16, this is where Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. It says in verse 16, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove." It doesn't say it was a dove. It was like a dove, a bird that would light on you. "And a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I believe when you get baptized, by immersion of course, after you're saved, God will open your eyes. I know he did with me. Amen. Once I got saved, I wanted to be baptized right away, but the church I was attending didn't know any better during that time. They had to have a deacon's thing, and they waited months and kept holding us off. You remember that, Marlene? Had a whole bunch of stuff. I was so upset. I wanted to be baptized. Get on with it here. But finally came the day. Marlene and I were baptized. And you know what? God opened my eyes. Amen. The things of God that I had never seen before. And that, of course, went on through years, and God called me to preach, and here I am today. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened. I believe when you get baptized, your eyes are open to a lot of things that were closed before. Why? You obey God. God told you to. He told you to get saved by trusting Christ. He told you to be baptized by immersion. He told you to join a church. You know what I would do in my life? I'd rather obey God and get the blessing than not obey God and stay in my pride. I don't get myself all wet and everything, hair all messed up and everything. I know of a preacher that he had a large church, and he let one of his assistant pastors baptize. They baptized every week and so forth, that people saved, of course. And this woman came in, and this assistant, He was going to do the baptism. She came in and sure enough got in the baptismal pool there, and he put her down and her wig came off. Oh. Here this wig's floating in the water over here. The assistant didn't know what to do, so he just picked up the wig, put it on her again. You know, it's all sopping wet, backwards and everything. Everybody got a kick out of that, including her. Amazing things happen when you get baptized, guarantee you that. God opened your eyes. Revelation 19, please. Another place. Revelation chapter 19, and in verse 11, here's the coming of Christ in our adult Sunday school class. That's what we're studying this week. It says in verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened," John's writing this, "and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True and Righteous. He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame as fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him, that's us by the way, upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It all started with verse 11. And I saw heaven open. Why is Jesus coming back to fight the battle of Armageddon? All of the armies of the world were gathered to attack Israel. They've been persecuted all through history, the Jews. All kinds of lies have been made up out of them, about them. People shunned them. They tried to go to different countries. They wouldn't take them. Even America did that before the Jews were allowed. They came. They tried to get into America. America wouldn't have it. I won't get into a lot of history. You bore some of you. But that's what happened. I believe when Christians are persecuted, just like John, you know what happened to John? He was the only one that wasn't killed as a martyr. The only one of the apostles. They tried to kill him by taking a cauldron, a pot filled with oil, and put it on the fire. That boiling oil they put him in. You can imagine what he looked like. You ever seen anybody that's been in a fire? That's John. They took and isolated him. They put him in exile on an island called Patmos. And guess what? God opened his eyes. God chose John, the persecuted one, to write this book. And he said in the very ending, before the battle of Armageddon, he saw in heaven, it says, I saw heaven opened. I believe Christians that are persecuted, maybe even to death, the windows of heaven are open. And they get the blessing. Boy, here's a blessing. The Lord Jesus coming back to earth. The second coming of Christ. What bigger blessing could there be? My. Remember the boys over in Babylon? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Made an image to Nebuchadnezzar, the king. He said, you got to bow down. We're going to play a bunch of rock music, and I want you to bow down, and I want you to worship that image. And they wouldn't do it. They only worshiped the Lord. And they threw him into a furnace of fire. There's somebody else in there, too. I mean, the king said, they aren't dead yet. He went over there and looked into that furnace. He said, I see four of them in there. One looks like the Son of God. I believe the windows of heaven are open for those that are persecuted, that take their stand as a Christian in life. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 14. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. First Chronicles chapter 14 talks about David. David had been hunted by King Saul. What was the condition of David? Well, his own son, Absalom, rebelled against him and tried to take over the kingship. He turned against his own father. He'd been chased around. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. He lost a lot of men in his army. He was down and he was discouraged. First Chronicles 14 and verse 15. Well, let's go to 14. Therefore, David inquired again of the Lord, and God said unto him, go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be when thou shalt hear the sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle, for God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. God said, don't go now, but these mulberry trees that you're camped by, when you hear like someone's walking on the top, the going, that's how we go, right? We walk. That's walking on the top of the mulberry trees. Then you go, because I'm going before you. You just follow me. I believe God opens the windows of heavens to those that are lonely. Mm-hmm. Christians that are lonely. He was down, discouraged, didn't know what to do. He was supposed to lead men in the battle. He didn't want anybody else dying. God said, when you're here in the tops of the trees, like the angels walking on top of the trees, that's the time you attack. Those that are lonely, God gives direction to and opens the windows of heaven, gives direction for you within your life. There's a hymn that's in a hymn book. I don't think it's in ours. But it's the name of it is Never Alone. Have you ever heard that? Never alone. Never alone. That's a real benefit that we Christians have. We're never alone.
Amen.
You have no reason to be there and lonely. God knows. Remember back in Acts chapter 16? Paul and Silas are out preaching the word, and they came and they beat them. They whipped them and they threw them into the jail and they chained them up. And at midnight, they were singing praises unto God loud. Even the other prisoners heard them. And the prison keeper heard them too. And he sprang in with his light. And they came out because it was a great earthquake. Paul and Silas could have ran for it, but they didn't. Brought them out. And the keeper of the prison, he knew. That jailer knew there was something different about these guys. He knew that they had seen that the windows of heaven were opened and there was blessing upon them. They should have died for their wounds. And God released him with that earthquake. And that jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Acts 16:31. They were as lone as you could ever be, my friend. And the last thing is, if you're here today without Christ, and I don't know who's saved. A lot of people put on that they're saved, but they aren't really. God finds that out. He knows about it. But I believe when you want to be saved, God will open the windows of heaven. And he'll come to save you. What a blessing Christians have.
Amen.
That the windows of heaven are open. Praise God. We're never alone, whether we're persecuted. Whether there's going to be a birth or Joshua and the starting of a nation and everything. We can't see the invisible God. We cannot see the invisible windows. But praise God, brother, you get in a situation. I want you to look real careful. I want you to look. Maybe just see that curtain just like blown in the wind. Being pulled back. That God pour out the blessing on you. You're obeying God. Doing what he said to do. What a blessing in the windows of heaven. I pray that you'll be encouraged. I pray that you'll be strong. I'll pray that you don't make excuses. I'll pray that you love your Lord and obey him because of the windows of heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we could read your word and study and have God the Holy Spirit deal with us in our lives in one area or another. Help us, Lord, to have enough faith to follow you, enough faith to even die for you if necessary. Thank you for the truth of the windows of heaven. Have your will as we humble ourselves and come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.